Backstage with Mothership on Solid Rock Radio begins now. Hear the best in new music, artist interviews, stories from the road, and more. You are now backstage, and here's your host, Mothership.
Last week was tough for the Christian rock community. We lost Caleb Lukow, drummer for War of Ages, and also we lost Michael Bloodgood, founder of the band Bloodgood. We are thankful for the impact their ministries and lives had on their fans, as undoubtedly they will continue to do through the legacy of music left behind. Please remember these families and bands and their fans in your prayers during this difficult time.
Hey everybody, Matt Moore joins me this week to talk about his latest EP in ministry. I hope you enjoy it.
I have Matt Moore of Matt Moore Music. How you doing, man?
I'm well, Cindy. How are you doing?
Great. We met at Kingdom Come Festival, and I think we could probably say we're besties,
right?
We go
way back now. Yeah, yeah, longtime friends now. So
it was awesome meeting you and your kids. You were the MC for the festival, and it was the first time I've seen you perform live music. I had a blast. So tell everybody who Matt Moore is.
Matt Moore, just some old dude with a guitar, man, out singing songs about Jesus. Yeah, independent rock artist from Central Michigan area. A worship leader, travel around and write my own music and try to make connections with people.
Well, you seem to have done pretty well at that.
I see you all over social media.
How did you branch out from your local area?
You know, started some local bands in my Central Michigan area back in the day. And there really isn't a whole lot of local music scene here in the Central Michigan area. So where I'm at, you pretty much have to drive a couple hours to get just about anywhere. And I was just hungry to go play just about anywhere and everywhere they would let me. So I would reach out to other bands, I'd reach out to other venues and just be like, can I just come play your spot? And we'd jump in the car and travel around anywhere they'd let us, and yeah, just start making relationships and getting to know people, and pretty soon it's little family reunions, you know, all over the country.
Awesome. When did you start recording?
Well, I started this solo project back in 2007, and my first album actually came out in 2009, album called No Place Left to Hide, that I recorded with a guy named Jake Rye, who used to play bass for the band Sanctus Real. Really, really great guy, had a great studio down in southeastern Michigan. And that was really my first time, you know, putting my own stuff out there into the world.
You went from local artist to national artist. How did you get your songs on the radio?
Did you have like a label that was pushing this?
No, I've done most everything pretty DIY. Although I've learned over the years that do it yourself doesn't necessarily mean do it alone. You know, I'm learning what it means to build a team and find people. So once I had some stuff that, you know, thought could actually do well on the radio, I hired a radio promoter, put that stuff out there, and have been really blessed, you know, as the albums have progressed to have more and more success with some of the radio singles. And it's just such a cool opportunity to share that music with a bigger audience and share that message and have people that I've never met before reach out and say, hey, I heard your song. Here's what it means to me. That's really, really precious.
Yeah. What was your first single?
My first single was actually a song called Change in Me off my first album, which didn't really do a lot on radio. It did some college radio. We had a local Christian rock station that gave it some spins. And then a couple other stations and shows, mostly throughout the Midwest, that gave it a chance. But it wasn't anything that, like, climbed the charts and took off, you know, on that first album.
So when was the, oh, this thing might work moment for you?
Honestly, I think that first album for me was like, that was a sign automatically of like, if anybody likes this, I'm running with it, you know? So
good for you.
I've really always kind of defined success as just being able to do what I love to do and to share it with people.
Amen.
If people will open their doors to let me come play and open their radios to listen to what I'm doing, like I'm happy to go anywhere and share that. And so it's just been a blessing trying to be faithful with that and seeing that grow and get more opportunities. And God's been really cool about opening new doors to go take that stuff out.
What really drives you?
I love making relationships. I love getting to know people. I love performing and sharing my heart with people and getting to hear their stories. And then having that carry over afterwards, to being able to have conversations, whether it's through text or email or social media, and just, you know, as people are going through things, to be able to walk through that with them or to be able to share my heart and my life with them. It's such an incredible opportunity for ministry. And honestly, I think I'm qualified and trained really to do nothing else. So it's kind of this or this or bust at this point.
Now, you were in ministry before you did music ministry, correct?
Not really. I mean, my music ministry has always kind of been, for many years, I was like a guest worship leader at all kinds of churches. My dad was my worship leader growing up, so I've been in church since I was a little kid, and helped out with our youth group and helped out with our worship teams and stuff like that. But really, yeah, once I started doing, especially the solo music career, that was part of it, was traveling around and leading worship at various churches around the Midwest. And it wasn't until 2013 that I actually took a step that I never, ever thought I would take, and joined a church staff, actually helped plant a church in the central Michigan area where I'm still at to this day, leading worship. So back in 2013, had a local friend reach out, a local pastor friend who was planting a new church. And we had kind of known of each other from, you know, playing different events, and he would speak at different camps and different events, and I would go play and lead worship. So we knew of each other, but didn't really know each other well. And he reached out and said, "Hey, you know, I'm planting a church in Mount Pleasant. My worship leader fell through. Is there any chance I could like buy you coffee and just share a little bit more of what I'm doing?" And I love the church and love what Jesus is doing there. But I swore up and down, like, I'll never work at a church. Like, that's not my gig, man. Like I said, Dad worked at a church. I've seen the behind the scenes, not really what I'm interested in. And so I remember telling my wife, like, on the way out the door, like, I'll go drink coffee with this guy. I'm never going to turn down coffee, but I'm not working at a church. Like, it's not going to happen. And that 20, 30 minute conversation turned into almost 3.5 hours of just dreaming about what we thought church could be and church should be. And I remember coming home and telling my wife, like, I still don't know that I want to work at a church, but I want everything we just talked about right there. Like, I'm in for that. So we launched Thrive Church back in 2013, and they brought me on as their worship leader. And here we are almost 9 years later, just seeing some really incredible things that God's doing in the central Michigan area and beyond. It's been a really cool ride.
Did you do any youth ministry? My husband was music and youth for many years.
I helped with some youth stuff. I was never on staff. I was always one of the adults who never really grew up, so got to be like a youth volunteer.
Yep, same here. Did you play a little underground church?
Yeah, it's a little bit of that. I think especially most church plants, I mean, you're wearing a lot of hats in ministry and covering a lot of ground. So, but no, it's been such a cool blessing. Like I said, something that I never thought I would take a step into. But there's been several times in my life where I've told God pretty definitively I'm not doing something, and he just kind of pats me on the head and says, "Okay, that's cute. Like, we'll see."
What in your life has shaped your message over the years?
I think a lot of it is just personal experience. Again, building those relationships, and now as a dad who's got kids that are not so little anymore, they're growing up, walking through things with them. And then even over the past handful of years, like I think this latest album and some of the stuff right before that, like a lot of that was shaped out of just walking through messy situations with people and trying to navigate some really heavy stuff and some heavy topics and just seeing God show up in that mess and seeing God change hearts and change lives and families and communities. Like, it's been really cool. And so that's really been kind of that message of hope and redemption and things like that that I've wanted to get out and share with people.
You're listening to Backstage with Mothership on Solid Rock Radio. You're listening to Backstage with Mothership on Solid Rock Radio.
This hour of music is made possible in part by our business ministry partner, TPI Professional Print and Marketing Solutions, specializing in posters, flyers, banners, and more. Rethink your print. More info on the web at printingandaiken.com or by calling 803-226-7898.
Tell me about the new EP.
Yeah, absolutely. The new EP is called The Art of Precious Scars. Got a chance to record that down in Nashville with my friend Josiah Prince from the band Disciple, who's just a monster.
Didn't you have Jareb work on this as well?
Yeah, Jareb Bramlett from The Protest. Absolutely incredible drummer and even better human being. Yeah, he came in and played drums on all the tracks. His brother Josh Bramlett came in and brought some guest vocals on Broken Pieces, which was really cool. And then we had an incredible vocalist named Dane Allen, who sings with Honor and Glory and does stuff with Disciple. He came in and added some extra vocal parts and harmonies. And that guy's just he's ridiculous. He's amazing. And then it was me and Josiah, you know, playing the other parts of that. Josiah played bass and some guitar, and I played guitar and sang on it. So yeah, really, really cool team, to record on it. And then sent it off to a guy named Matt Arcaney, who mixed it and made it sound just massive and really cool. And Sam Moses over at Moses Mastering to give it that final punch. And it was a really good team. I'm super blessed to be able to work with, some not only talented people, but like I said, just quality people.
I love the artwork for this album.
Listen, anything I have that looks cool is Quiet Strength Design. Jared Bramlett, I mean, not only did he drum on it, he did
the art.
I joke around. I just say that it might as well be a protest album featuring Matt Moore. You know, like I'm just let them get the credit, man. They did all the work. Even the art concept really tied everything. They did an amazing job of taking the whole concept of the album and putting it in a visual form. So those guys are amazing.
Give me a little story on the concept behind the songs on this EP.
I wouldn't say it's a concept album, but I wanted all four songs to not only be able to stand apart on their own, but to be able to tell a little bit bigger story when they were put together. So it's this idea of redemption and restoration, and it's built kind of around this old Japanese concept called kintsugi. I'd never heard of it before until I saw something about it at a conference I was at. They talked about this idea that when like a precious family heirloom or something very valuable is broken, in that Japanese culture, rather than throw it away or try to fix it and repair it to a way that you can't see the cracks anymore and fix it good as new like we do here, they'll actually take gold and they'll painstakingly kind of piece these things back together in a way that makes them these really unique, amazing pieces of art with cracks that tell an individual story of not only the brokenness, but the redemption and restoration of it. But it also makes it more valuable because of the time and the materials and the love that went into putting it back together. And it makes it stronger in the places that it was weak before, you know, like those parts that were now once the weakest point are now like reinforced and strong. And I remember hearing that and just thinking like, what an incredible picture of how God loves us. That idea that he wants to take the broken, messy pieces of our life and put them back together in a way that allows us to share a bigger story through our experience and through our pain. And for him to show himself strong in our weakness. So that's really kind of the whole concept of the album. So, like a song like Broken Pieces was all about, just acknowledging the brokenness in our life and the different things that we struggle with, but also to declare that like our brokenness isn't the end of our story. It's merely the next chapter that God's writing. And then a song like Beautiful is really that kintsugi idea of like, you know, heaven waiting to mend your scars with gold, like wanting to put you back together. And if you've ever felt damaged, if you've ever felt unloved and unworthy, you know, Beautiful was about knowing that your scars are a special part of your story and something that God's working in your life and something that God wants to continue to work on. And then, yeah, Stronger was all about, again, being stronger in those places where you were once weak and being reinforced. And then the last song was The Promise. Which was just this idea that no matter what happens in life, God's going to continue to work. God's going to continue to piece us back together. God's going to continue to walk with us through the dark parts of life.
What would you say to somebody that says, no, I'm too broken. There's just no way.
I would say that nobody's too broken. There is no, you know, there's no amount of brokenness that God's grace and redemption can't overcome. I think it just means you've got more story to tell. You've got a little bit bigger story through some of your scars and through some of your pain. And God gets a really cool opportunity to take that extra damage and that extra brokenness and mend it back together in a way that only he can take the credit for. I've seen God work in some really messy situations through some really broken things. And it's just been incredible to see him show up.
Amen. Okay, now I understand the album cover artwork.
Yeah, it's, again, just that idea, too, that, you know, taking that kintsugi theme and applying that to, you know, like a human heart. It's that idea of a heart that carries around these scars that have been mended back together with gold, you know, that tell just this incredible story and how that really represents kind of each of us, like God pieces those things back together in a way that only he can.
Is there a song that represents your attitude towards life?
Represents my attitude for life.
One that you listen to and you say, that's just me.
I've never thought of that. That's a really good question. I remember, this is going old school. I remember the first time hearing Jesus Freak by DC Talk and being like, that's it, man. I'm in. Let's go, you know? And it was really that idea of like, I mean, first of all, that song just rocks, man. That song's just a monster.
Classic.
But just that idea of like, okay, you know, I'm in. I don't care who knows. I'm going to live for Jesus and I'm going for it. So I don't know if that's necessarily my theme song, but that's just the first one that comes to mind thinking back of younger Matt.
Okay, that's pretty good.
What is something that people are surprised to learn about Matt Moore?
Something they're surprised to learn about me. I think most people are surprised to find out I'm as old as I am. Yeah, I think I act really immature and maybe dress younger and people think I'm, you know, in my 20s or 30s and then my teenage kids come to shows with me and they're like, oh,
math.
I didn't know.
So are you going to give us your age or what?
If you really want to know, I'll be 43 this summer.
Okay. So you're still a baby to me. You're young.
I'm still feeling it. I mean, I've reached the age where I can hurt myself by sleeping wrong. So that's something.
I can definitely relate.
Yeah, I guess I've never really talked about how old I am. Not something I've tried to hide, so but it's just.
Is this we're going to bleep that out? We're going to bleep that out, right?
Yeah, just, you know, how old are you? Beep, you know, like, let them keep guessing.
Now, you were the MC for Kingdom Come Festival. Do you do that for other festivals?
So true story. Kingdom Come Festival is probably the only one I actually do the MCing for. And I've done it for a couple of other events, but that's not really a normal part of what I do. Uh-huh. I normally just go and perform. But the Always One Ministries crew in Indiana for Kingdom Come Festival, they're some of the most just wonderful people I've ever had the pleasure of working with. I mean, they really are a family. And it was several years ago. I've been playing the festival for, I think, over a decade now. And it was just a few years ago that I think they had an MC that they've had some incredible MCs over the years. They had an MC that had to drop out with a scheduling conflict. And so they just said, hey, are you planning to be there? Like, would you come host? And it's like, yeah, sure. I'll do that. That'd be great. And I still have no idea what I'm doing hosting. They give me a microphone and they're like, just tell people about concessions. You know, I'm like, okay, so, you know, that and, you know, trying to make sure I don't mispronounce the band's names or anything like that. Like, you know, that's
we've just found a set of keys.
Yeah, that happens quite a bit. Like people will run to the stage and be like, we found this cell phone. Like, okay. Or some other announcement that, you know, usually somebody's like, so-and-so has a birthday. Can you announce that? I'm like, I don't know what I'm allowed to say up here. Sure. Happy birthday.
That's good.
Now, what do you consider your genre to be?
I always just tell people it's rock. You know, I try to simplify it as much as possible. Like I'm a rock artist, you know, sometimes I'm a rock artist with an acoustic guitar. You know, sometimes I'm a rock artist with a full band that, you know, slamming and doing heavy stuff. But yeah, I usually just tell people it's like, it's rock music. You know, if you like rock music, hopefully you'll like it.
Last week was tough for the Christian rock community. We lost Caleb Lukow, drummer for War of Ages. And also, we lost Michael Bloodgood, founder of the band Bloodgood. We are thankful for the impact their ministries and lives had on their fans, as undoubtedly they will continue to do through the legacy of music left behind. Please remember these families and bands and their fans in your prayers during this difficult time. Next Monday, August 8th, on Backstage with Mothership, my interview is with Les Carlson of Bloodgood. We recorded the interview just 2 days before Michael's passing, so a few days later, Les and I spoke on the phone again to share a word to the fans from his heart. Please join us next week to hear Les Carlson of Bloodgood.
You know, when I first heard your voice, what came to mind was Marshall Huffman, Relentless Blood.
Oh, man. Marshall's an incredible vocalist. Like he's
there you go.
Well, thank you so much.
So if anybody likes Relentless Blood, they need to check out Matt Moore.
That's so awesome. Cool. You know, it's really wild too. A couple of years ago, Marshall actually came up to me at Kingdom Come Festival. Speaking of that same festival, he came up and he's like, you know, I've always really liked your voice. He's like, I think you have such a cool voice. And I remember like just grinning from ear to ear. Cause I'm like, I'm surrounded by some of the best vocalists in Christian music. Like TJ Harris is there. We've got Kevin from Disciple. I'm like, all these like Matt Baird from Spoken, like all these guys that like, I wish I could sing, like, you know, And to have somebody like Marshall, who's just an amazing vocalist, come up and be like, you have a really cool voice. I had to send him a message afterwards. I'm like, you have no idea how much that meant to me, man. That's so cool.
That is.
Some of these guys are just, you know, you sit there in awe listening to them going like, man, I want to be like that someday. I always tell people that TJ and I have the same vocal coach, but you'd never know it. Like,
do you really?
I think we've worked with the same dude, Brett Manning, out of Nashville. Yeah, I think he's Taylor Swift's vocal coach too. So again, another connection you probably wouldn't make listening to my stuff, but yeah, TJ's next level. You know, as far as music goes, I mean, vocalist kind of stuff and being a vocalist, like it's funny that I never ever wanted to be a vocalist. I never wanted to be a solo artist at all. That was another one of those areas where I told God pretty definitively, like, I'm not interested in that. I just want to play guitar in a band. My last handful of bands, like, we were actually like putting out ads looking for a lead singer. Like, I had no interest in doing that kind of stuff whatsoever. And it wasn't until my last band broke up that I remember, like, distinctly, there's only been a few times in my life where I felt like, you know, I've kind of heard that, like, God impression on you where it's like, you can't deny it. And I remember distinctly hearing that thing of like, you keep saying you want to serve me with music. Why are you waiting for somebody else to come do it for you? And I was like, oh, I mean, it was just like a shot right to the heart. I was like, okay. So I remember I picked up my acoustic guitar and I started writing some stuff and I was like, I'm not sure I want to do this. And we had a buddy who was a high school band teacher. They were doing a little local variety show. And I remember emailing him being like, I'd like to come play your variety show and do some of my original stuff. And I think I typed that message and then paced around my house for about a half hour before actually hitting send. Cause I'm like, you know, if you do this, you actually have to do it now. And, yeah, never wanted to do it. Was not something I was interested in. Was something I was frankly terrified of. Finally took a step out and gave it a shot and can't imagine life without it. You know, can't imagine not having taken that step. And, God's been just so cool to continue to provide opportunities and, it really is, you know, really is my passion. And again, one of those things that, you know, never thought I would do.
My takeaway tonight is that whatever Matt Moore says he didn't want to do, he's going to end up doing.
Dude, I'm telling you, man, like, it's God's got a way of just being like, yeah, I hear you. And I know that's what you think. You know, those ideas of like, you know, my ways are greater than your ways. My plans are better than your plans. It's like, dude, he's not joking. If God tells you to go do it. Just shut up and go do it, man.
Is your middle name Jonah?
It seems like it sometimes. Well, I had somebody ask, you know, one time, like, do you have any regrets, like, with your career and stuff like that? And I don't know that I have regrets as much as, yeah, I wish I'd have stepped out earlier. Like, I wish I wouldn't have thought that I had it all figured out so much and been so set on, like, nope, it's got to be my way. It's goofy part of it, like, I just wanted to be in a band and I just wanted to do stuff. And then years later to get a chance to put a band around this project and go hit the road and travel and share it with people. It's like, it's all the things that I wanted to do, just not the way I thought it was going to go down and happen. So, yeah, if God calls you, jump in, just go for it. Step out.
Just do it. If someone could just use that as a
advertising slogan.
When you're with your family, what is y'all's happy place? Where do y'all go? What do y'all do?
We have a couple. We started a tradition in 2020 that we call our Sunday Sunset Adventures. We were locked in the house. You know, everything was kind of doom and gloom and scary for a little bit. And we just decided, man, we didn't want our kids to look back on that year and just remember the heavy stuff and just remember the dark stuff. So we just made a deal. Like, it's like, after church on Sunday, we were doing church online at the time. So it was like after online, you know, portable church, we didn't have our own building. So like we had to move to Facebook and do stuff. But we decided that after church, we were going to pile in the car and we were just going to drive. And no plan, no particular place that we were going. We would just throw some food in the back and hit the road. And living in Michigan, like, you know, even in central Michigan, you're only a couple hours away from one of the Great Lakes at all times. So we would usually find ourselves out on the lakeshore somewhere and we'd throw down a picnic and just watch the sunset over the water and then drive home in the dark. The place we ended up was one of our happy places, but that time in the car, just driving out there and listening to music and spending time together became really one of those like very safe, happy places.
I love that.
That and we have a vacation spot up in northern Michigan, tiny little island called Beaver Island. That's about 2 hours offshore from anywhere. It's pretty remote, pretty laid back, but that's, you know, we usually try to get up there for at least a few days in the summer, if not a week or two, and just get away from it all for a little bit.
What a great memory building activity idea.
There's the thing about being in a car that you do a lot more interacting than you would if you're home and being distracted by so many things. Great idea. But,
and it's those kinds of memories too that the kids would talk about all the time. Like, remember when we went to this one, and remember when we did that, and remember when so-and-so was like hanging their head out the window? Like, well, yeah, let's not talk about that one. But yeah, I remember those.
That's great.
So what's coming up next for Matt Moore Music?
What is next? Still out a bunch this summer, still doing, lots of one-off shows here and there. I've got a couple camps that I'm still doing for the rest of this year where I get to go lead worship and share some of my stuff. Actually, this one's kind of a weird one, but I think we've lined up almost 40 to 60 school assemblies in northern Michigan where we're going to go with a group, and they have some really cool speakers that they bring out, and I get to be the musical artist, and we get to take Jesus into public schools, which is really kind of a neat opportunity. And then we're beginning writing for the next project. So, working with some really cool artists, on some collaborating, some co-writing, working on a bunch of my own writing, and then planning to hit, the studio with Josiah again later this year, and possibly hit the road with a couple other bands. Not quite ready to announce those ones yet, but we've been talking to a couple other, groups about putting together some, you know, a few week long stretches here and there around the country. So, we'll be out and about a whole bunch the remainder of 2022.
Well, I'm going to put some links to your pages on the Solid Rock Radio website. What can they find at the Matt Moore Music merch site?
Yeah. If you find us, on the road, or if you jump over to my website, mattmooremusic.com. I mean, we got the CDs, we got the t-shirts, and that's about it. We got the real nice t-shirts that Jarib designed. So they look good. They feel good. They'll make you more popular with your friends.
I find this to be true. I've never been more popular with my friends until I had a Matt Moore t-shirt. And besides that, they are very soft. I love soft shirts.
I wear them sometimes, and I'm way too self-conscious to wear my own name around. So sometimes I just wear them to bed because they're soft and snuggly.
Yeah. I've decided that if a merch shirt is soft, I don't care what it says anymore. I'm wearing that thing.
So like, if it looks cool and people want to wear it, I mean, that's the win, right?
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
All right, so I'm going to ask you, what's your favorite restaurant?
Favorite restaurant? All right, this is probably a super basic answer, but because I live in the middle of Michigan, I am still over an hour away from the nearest Chick-fil-A. And I know it's not fancy, but man, when I can get my hands on some, like anywhere we're at around a Chick-fil-A, I'm going to stop and we're going to get it. So fast food answer, it's got to be.
Yeah, we got a Chick-fil-A like 5 minutes away. Have you got their mac and cheese before? Oh.
It's fantastic. Yeah, it's dangerously good.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I had a Chick-fil-A closer, I might not go so much.
Absence makes the heart grow fonder.
That's it.
Okay, so anybody that is coming to a Matt Moore event needs to hand him a Chick-fil-A gift card. All right. What are your other road snacks that you like to eat while you're on tour?
Road snacks. Boy, like the gas station snacks. Like lots of trail mixes and occasionally some red vines here and there. Got to sneak some red vines in. We've always got some pretzels, you know, things you can eat in the car. You know, we do a lot of driving and a lot of cruising around. So, and then I stopped drinking soda, you know, about 5 years ago. So now it's coffee and as much sparkling water as I can get into my system because I still haven't given up the carbonation.
Gummy bears. We got a lot of gummy bear people.
Oh, gummy bears are fantastic. Yeah, gummy bears are definitely a necessity.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Haribos are always classic. My wife's aunt lives in Germany, and so she'll send over the actual German ones. And those are, you know, they come in like massive, like a bag the size of a pillow. You know, we take that around with us. If I'm not watching my diet, I'm sure like if you know, if we're out for a long stretch, I'm probably trying to be a little bit better. I'm like,
trail mix.
Yeah, exactly.
Granola bars.
Not as many red vines.
Well, you know.
Well, your fans need to spoil you with the bad stuff, and you can buy that good stuff.
Yeah, you know, I have my little thing of Chex Mix on the road.
Yeah, for real. Okay.
Well, I'm going to have to let you go.
Well, Cindy, I know I told you this before, but seriously, thank you so much for what you're doing with this stuff. Like, this is, you know, this is so awesome that you give us a platform to share our music and to share our hearts with people. You know, I remember telling you at the festival, like, I'm old enough to remember, like, there was no platform for this back in the day. Like, you know, there was no Christian rock music like this on the radio. There weren't festivals that were dedicated to, like, these heavier rock bands and stuff like that. Like, I remember having to go to my local Christian bookstore and, like, rifle through tapes and eventually CDs and trying to find, like, Tooth and Nail compilations and Forefront samplers.
Yes.
And stuff like that.
Yes.
Trying to find any of these bands. So I'm sure I can speak for a lot of other musicians in my shoes when I say thank you so much for your ministry and for giving us an opportunity to share ours. It's so awesome.
Well, Matt, we're ministry partners. I support musicianaries because whenever you're successful doing what you do, I have the privilege to be part of that.
Well, we love you a lot, Cindy, so thank you so much for what you do.
And thank you. I hope to see you out there on the road soon.
Can't wait.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you for listening. Stay tuned for more great music. And check out my blog page on the Solid Rock Radio website for my guests' social media links. If you've missed any of my past interviews, you can find them uploaded to podcast.solidrockradio.org. Have a wonderful week, and let's be kind to one another.